Well, I'm going to deal with the subject of the operation of your faith. And that's the title I want to put on the message. How to identify the operation of your faith. Boy, it amazes me. Open up to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. It amazes me how many people fall into a trap of works and not realizing that they are attributing to works rather than an operation of their faith. In Mark chapter 4, we know the parable of the sower, so let's get into prayer and get right into the subject of the operation of our faith. Father, I thank you so much for the privilege of knowing the body of Christ and knowing the Word of God and knowing where we stand in relationship to each other. So this morning, Father, I ask that your anointing be upon the people to receive and be upon me to deliver. And Father, between both, we know that much revelation can come forth. Father, cause everyone to be anointed to stay focused in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, here is the parable of the sower, and many of us read it, but we don't read it with really bonding to it. And we have to understand what it means to bond to the Word of God. So in Mark chapter 4, it says, the sower sows the word. Thank God we don't have a lack of sowers sowing the word today. We have a lack of hearers, but we don't have a lack of preachers here. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown, and when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word, notice, that was sown in their hearts. Now, notice he said, these are the ones who receive the seed by the wayside. Well, do you know something by the wayside, what that means? It means it just happened to fall on them. They weren't necessarily marking out a destination of their own. In other words, they hadn't made out a destiny and was focused to take that destiny because they received the word by the wayside. Wherever they were traveling, it just happened to be there. Now, these are the ones sown on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Now, I thought it was very interesting because when you're reading this, there's a whole lot you can miss unless you really understand it. And I preached this to you before, but I got to deal with some issues about believers, again, operating what they call faith, when really it's just a matter of works. Notice it says they heard the word, they received it, but the problem was that when tribulation or persecution came, Satan had the ability to remove it from them. Now, how did he do that? Well, first of all, they're going through life with no plan of any destination concerning the Word of God. They don't realize the Word of God is given to them for a purpose. And what is the purpose of the Word of God given to them? So that the Word of God can produce in their life? Yeah. But also in the life of others. Are you guys there? See, a lot of times we don't realize that when we receive the Word of God, we're to let the Word of God take root in us and then produce. Because the Word producing through us is what is the greatest witness that I know of for mankind. I need some water here. Is this Keith's water? He was pretty anointed of God, so I don't have a problem with that. Okay, so let's get back to where we were. It says they received it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, endure only for a time. And afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises, for the word's sake. See, you and I got to realize when the word of God is sown into our life, it's very important how we receive that word. Because Satan, it doesn't say he stops a word from being sown. He brings tribulation or persecution where the word's sown. And he knows how you receive it. Because if he learns how you receive it, then he can determine whether he can take it from you or he will be running from you. One or the other. And so he's saying here, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Gee, where have I ever seen that before? When somebody applied the word and it didn't work for them. You know, a lot of us, we never really realize how important it is to bond to the Word of God, because when we bond to the Word of God, the purpose of bonding to the Word of God is it's going to do something for us. No. It's not only going to do something for us, it's going to do something for our neighbor, and it's going to do something to glorify the kingdom of God, not just ourselves. You see, when you entered into the kingdom of heaven, guess what? You didn't enter into the kingdom of heaven by yourself. Do you guys know every one of us in this building has been given a destiny, has been given a mission? Do you guys believe that? Well, guess what? The word of God will work in your heart and life as long as you keep that vision, as long as you keep that destiny. You know, I'm going to say something that might shock some of you, but did you know that every one of us, pretty near every one of us in this building, we have a problem. The problem is we love our neighbor as we love ourselves. You want me to repeat that? Maybe just a little. The problem we have is many love their neighbor as they love themselves. Well, Pastor, that's biblical. Do you want me to turn there and give you the meaning of what I just said? You know, a lot of us love our neighbors as we love ourselves. But the problem is, if you don't love yourself, you are not going to love your neighbor. That's what I'm saying. You've got to learn that if you truly love yourself properly, it's because you're going to give out of yourself to your neighbor. Have you ever noticed that people don't learn how to really love themselves properly? They never do anything for anybody but become a deficit. Oh, shut up, John. Let's make this thing a happy thing here. And so they become offended. You know what offendable people are? Weaklings. And it goes on to say here, now these are the ones sown among thorns when they are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. It chokes the word. What? The distractions of life. They could come and choke the word. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things. Boy, not me. Not me. And notice this. But these are the ones sown on good ground who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Guess what? There's a progression here. Starts out little and it gets bigger. And notice, the word up in verse 16, receive it. Receive it. Verse 16, receive it. And these are the ones that receive it. Receive what? They received the sowing of the word and have no destiny to even think about. This word here is lambano. It means it fell on them. It dropped on them by happenstance. They just happened to be at the right place at the right time. They heard the word of God. They loved it. You know, a lot of people like the word of God. But when you draw responsibility out of that word on them, now wait a minute. I thought this gospel was supposed to be good news. I didn't think that a responsibility came with it. Oh, are you offended now at the word? You know? And it says that when persecution and affliction, Satan knows. He knows, people. He knows right where you're at. He knows whether you have a love for the Word of God or not. He knows when you're distracted. He knows when he can choke the life of the Word out of your life simply because you distracted. You got something else going. But here on verse 20, the word receive it or accept it in the New King James, but it's actually this, the word receive, which literally means, it's a word called paradekomai, which literally means a person goes to a specific place to hear a specific word that he knows that he has need of to put alongside himself. You know, I've preached the word to you all, and I've had you all attack me preaching to you. Hello? Pastor, why did you single me out to preach to you? I said, oh, did I? Yeah, you singled me out. Well, good. I singled every one of you out personally. It's your own conscience that will convict you, not me. Unless God goes through a book up there. He's given me a book with special glasses. And I can go in and look your name up and read all about you, what you needed to know. So I could preach that sermon for just you. Dick, can you imagine you think so much of yourself that I would take the time to finger you out and preach directly to you and forget everybody else? The Holy Ghost don't work that way. He picks a subject that meets you. Every one of you can receive from it. So it says they received the word, first of all, 30, 60, and 100-fold. In other words, they put it alongside them, and they grow by it. They grow by it. So I wanted to cover that issue. So let's go to Romans chapter 10, and let's look at the operation of our faith. Romans chapter 10. And I'm going to step on a few toes here today, and I hope that you don't have steel toes so that it'll hurt a little bit. In Romans chapter 10, I'm going to tell you what, the operation of salvation is the same as the operation of your faith. Same thing. It's how you receive it, and it's how you activate it. So he starts off in verse 6, but the righteousness of faith speaks on this way. The righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Now, we're talking about the operation of your faith. All right, here it goes. Do not say in your heart, who will steal the word from me? Who has the ability to confess the wrong thing? Who has the ability? Well, it doesn't say that, does it? It says, but the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart. Notice he says, do not say in your heart. In your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word rhema is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the word sozo. For with, now look, now follow me, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Notice, there's a switch here. He started out with the mouth to your heart, then it goes from your heart out your mouth. One comes in, one goes out. All right? So you got a rhema going in. No, you got a logos going in. You got a rhema coming out. You got a rhema coming out. But the problem is the heart, the issue of the heart. Did you know that if I get into a situation where I suffer a persecution or a temptation or whatever I go through in life, did you know that it's going to be up to the issue of my heart, how it's going to turn out? It's not going to be because of the issue of somebody else. These people get so, now don't say the wrong thing, because if you say the wrong thing, don't get caught in that trap. Because that is nothing but the wrong kind of works. People, I'm going to tell you something. If I'm believing God for something that's in my heart, I don't care how close I get to you. If you got a negativeness about your mouth, if you don't really trust whether or not I'm in faith, it don't mean a hill of beans to me if you shout it out in my ears. Why? Because my ears has nothing to do with what's in my heart. What you say and what you do does not affect my heart. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If it does, if you're so fickle that you've got to be in the right environment, then leave planet Earth until your faith manifests. Then come back. So stupid when people get on that works kick. When, you know, don't say the wrong thing around them. Well, if they're that fragile, then they must not have faith established in their heart. If anything I say might upset them. Some people, you have to walk around eggshells. Why? Because if you say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing or imply the wrong thing, you've lost it. I'm going to tell you something. When you know you're not in faith is when somebody can come and steal what's in your heart. Don't get caught up in that trap. If you're believing God for a healing, it's up to you, not somebody else. Don't get caught up in those kind of works. I'll tell you what, I'm at peace with no matter what, with my own faith. I'm not going to let the witness of somebody else be my witness or testimony. I am what I am because of what's in my heart. Amen. And people can get on work kicks. You haven't prayed enough. Well, you haven't spent enough time in prayer. You haven't built your faith up. Well, how can you determine my heart, whether I've done that or not? How can you determine anybody's heart? I'm going to tell you something, people. When life is not confusing is when you look at Jesus and see his manifested will for humanity. Did you know that? That's not confusing. But you know, it gets real confusing when you look at the witness of men compared to the witness of Christ. There's where confusion comes in. Why don't some get healed? Why don't some do? Why don't some get healed? Why don't you? We start coughing up all these little reasons. I'm going to tell you something. The secret things, thank God they belong to him. It's none of our business. But I'll tell you what, it's not going to deter me from the activation of my faith. So you can't tell. You can't determine how you believe according to somebody else's faith. And you can't go around and say somebody else has the ability to say the wrong thing and you're no longer in faith. Now, people, that don't work that way. Your faith works because it's already in your heart. Because we talked about salvation there. It says, what saith it? It's in the mouth and in your heart. And then what does the next verse say? It's in the heart. It comes out of the mouth. Well, it doesn't say it comes out of somebody else's mouth. Nobody else is responsible for your faith. But you're to seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Somebody else can come and accuse you of anything. That don't mean it's so. Where you're concerned and in your heart, people, I'm telling you, just point blank, your faith is secure if it's within your own self and not in another. If you take the word of God and apply it to yourself, then it doesn't matter what somebody else does. Because what if somebody's giving you a negative confession? Well, good for you. But you're a little late. Why? Because your word's not going into my heart, because God's word's already there. Don't get caught up in those kind of works. Because here's what happens when you do that. Do you know that faith, when it goes to the mind, did you know your mind, the issue of your heart has to process that before it gets into your heart? Did you know that? It has to process out of your mind to your heart. So if there's anything anybody can say outside of yourself that's not the Word of God, then if you pay attention to that, then to you that see it as sin, it is sin. And it will take you and rob you of your faith. I'm not that fragile. I'm sorry. And I'm going to tell you something. If I get hit with a whole lot of unfavorable situations in my life, I've learned something about me. This is what I've learned. There's two parts to me. There's the outward man, and there's the inward man. And if I have really put to death in my thinking the position that my body has been declared on the cross, then I'm living out of my spirit. And when I get into his words, they are spirit and they are life. That's what builds faith in me, because it's with your heart in the spirit that is where your faith is found. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're outside the perimeter of the authority that has been given you, your faith will not work. Did you hear that? Now, you know, you should do this. I think it's great. But in 1 Timothy chapter 5, and I'm going to hit another little thing here about natural things. You have to rely on natural things. You've denied the faith. I've heard preachers preach that if you go to a doctor and you take medication, you have neutralized your faith. Is that true? Yes, it is. A lot of you are doing it. Because you went to a doctor and you took medication, you have denied your faith. Because there are some believers that can't get outside of themselves, realizing that God can also administer healing to you through the natural as well as the spiritual. Did you guys know that? Did you know that God used natural things to heal people that didn't even have a revelation of the spiritual realm? You want to know who they were? You had to read about it in your Bible. When a guy laid by the pool, laid there 32 years, and he wanted somebody to pick him up and throw him in the water that was stirred by an angel. A God used water. Did you know doctors can't heal anybody? Did you guys get that revelation? But God didn't say stay away from them. That's why that Casey Treat, when I gave him his 10 points, some of you had a heart attack. You thought I was backsliding. But you didn't hear the 10 points that he brought out. Your faith is predicated on your spirit, not what you do in the natural. Now, if you're going to sit there and say, well, I know that God won't heal me, and I, well, good luck. How many of you ever made a mistake with what you said? Any of you ever made a mistake of what you said? Well, you better get over that. Well, Pastor, how do I get over it? Step out of your body. Who was it that's... Oh, it was John. You said something powerful. You said your body can't know God. Your natural mind can't. It can know about God. You know, just like a know about this pew that I sit on before service. That's about the limitation my body knows about God. He knows God can heal and everything, but he doesn't know how to take it. He doesn't know how to act in faith. Why? Because the Bible says he can't know God. He can know about him, but he can't know him. And yet, how many of us become victims of what the body tells us? You go forward to get a healing, and the Bible says, let the elders lay hands on you, and you will receive your healing. And you got to wait until you get a personal revelation from God before you go forward. I got to hear from God. You know what that's saying? I got to drag him up from the dead. I got to bring him personally back into my life. Bible doesn't teach that. Well, I'm still believing God for my healing. Oh, I got to crawl up into heaven and say, God, can I convince you to heal me? No. What saith that the word is in your heart and it confesses out your mouth? Isn't that amazing? Well, how in the world did that happen? I'm sure glad you asked, so we can go into this next Sunday and clarify about the switching of authority. And many of us don't realize the switching of authority. You know, a sinner on the street, his chances of being healed is better than some believers make it for themselves. Thank God it's that way. No. That's horrible. Why would God treat a sinner on the street better than he would treat a believer? Here's the reason. One should have knowledge where the other one doesn't. And God doesn't expect him to have knowledge. So what God can use is natural things to convince them of healing, such as, let me pray for you. Let me put my hands on you and declare unto you the same thing that was given to us for Jesus. Okay. I'll never forget Honeysuckle. He was a doctor that traveled with Kenneth Hagin. He said that he always offered his patients one of two. He says, you can either go through medication and obey what I have to say for a stabilization in your body, or you can let me pray for you for healing, or you can take the operation. It's up to you which one you want. He said all the believers took the operation or medication. He says all the unbelievers wanted to save money, so they took the laying on of hands. And they always got healed. I said, are you kidding me? He says, no, I'm not kidding you. He says, it's the craziest thing I ever heard. Now, how did that happen? Because God knows they're ignorant of his word. You know, ignorant of it. Did you know that the more you know of the will of God, the more you're responsible for? Because you can be young in the faith, and God will meet you where you're at. He doesn't have a chart up there and he slides you on a slide rule down here and says, no, you can't get healed because you're down here. And this is where healing is. He doesn't have a slide rule. God will work with you where your faith is at. If he's given you a measure, then if you need a measure to encourage you for the full measure of your healing, and God is not permitted to, well, why would God call men to be doctors that are godly men? There are doctors out there that are godly, and then there are ungodly doctors out there. They don't know the difference. But you know, they're not out to destroy people. They're out to make money. The devil's out to destroy people. And so it's you and I got to make our mind up. How stable are we? Are we going to let somebody say something wrong and quake our faith? No, you're more solid than that. You have the ability for more than that. You just got to learn how do you operate your faith? Well, let's take a look at a believer that doesn't quite have enough faith. So if you tell him that he doesn't divinely get healed, then what you're doing is you're putting a believer in a position who has the ability to grow in the Lord and the things in the Lord. You're putting him in a very vulnerable position because you could plant some seed in him early in his walk with the Lord, saying that if you rely on any natural means, then you're not in the faith. See, and you should never give anybody that ultimatum. You should work with where they're at because God does. Is it making sense to you? So if I just happen to end up going to a doctor, happen to end up taking medication. Now, I think when you go to take medication through addictions, that's wrong. How many of you know what I'm talking about? People go to a doctor because they get a little pain, toenail, they can't handle it, you know. You know, and so they go to the doctor and give me some, what is some painkiller? Huh? Percocet? Oxycodone? Whatever they call them. And the reason they do it is so they can. What do you feel in? Not feeling any pain. Or are you believing God? Yeah, I'm believing God for my healing. I think. What do you mean you're saying? I don't know. I like this Percocet. Well, when I had that stone, John's the one that had to drive me home. They, what was that they gave me? Pretty potent. And I said to the lady, I said, is there anything you can give me for the pain? And I was crying out to Jesus. And I said, Jesus, I'll take a painkiller right now until you kick in. That was my attitude. And I says, I know you're going to kick in. Well, boy, she helped me. She gave me that pill, and she gave me a whole bottle of them. And it was, it take 5 minutes to get across a bridge, and I thought we were 2 hours on it. I was stoned. I get to the house and get to sit on the side of my bed, and I'm thinking of that pain. And I'm thinking about what just happened to me. Sitting on the edge of that bed. And guess what happened? My body spoke to me. You know what he said? I'm back. And I knew right then and there I couldn't take another one of those pills. And yet I thought about that pain. And I made my mind up. I ain't going back there. I ain't going back to those pain pills. Sue's my witness. I still have that bottle. And that bottle sat there, and I said, I'm not going to take another one of you. Never again. Stoned out of my mind. So halfway through the night, I got up, and I felt so much better. But this is what I did. I said, Lord, I'm going to trust you that you have carried my pain. And my soul, I'm going to trust you in every bit of this. I'm not going to go down this road. Went up middle of the night and went potty and went back to bed. I thought I passed it. I was feeling so good. 6 months later, I passed it. I'm going to tell you something. You have some victories in your life. Your eyes are open. When I took that to the doctor, he called me a liar. He said, you can't have that big of a stone lasting in you 6 months without painkillers. I went, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know what? I saved myself from addiction again. A repeat. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of believers that are prescription addicted. And you need to be set free. And not set free from a demon. You need to be set free from the pills. You know, you can't keep going on and on with pills all the time. You follow me saying? I know that more than anybody else. But just because I took a pill, you know, I could have sat on the edge of that bed and said, I'm doomed. There's no way out of this. You ever tried to tell somebody to have faith in something? You talk to them and they just give you an answer. No, I tried that. No, it don't work. And that, then, it's like talking to a brick wall. Well, then why don't you do something about it? Why don't you change the way you think? Why don't you let the revelation sink into you? This subject of I hope you know the balance that I'm trying to make here. Are you guys following me? The balance I'm trying to make here. See, Kenneth Hagin, wonderful man of God, and he always said very plainly, he said, if I have a sickness that keeps coming back onto me that I hadn't got rid of, he said, then it's not just the physical body breaking down. It's where I put myself in the will of God. So you can have the permissive and the perfect will of God. Acceptable, perfect, or how does that go? Good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And there are some people who just get sick all the time because they don't find the perfect will of God. And the perfect will of God is to walk in His revealed will. Amen. And that doesn't mean that you're going to incur all the tragedies of life because we're living in a fallen world. None of us are perfect. Jesus Himself said that what about the 12 or 13 men that died at the pool there when the walls fell on them? He used that as an example. What about them? What about the ones who went to the temple and offered sacrifices like they were supposed to according to the law, and the Roman soldiers came in and slaughtered them all? Were they acting against the will of God? See, life is too unpredictable. But what helps is for you to at least stay in the cutting edge of things, gives you a better chance. Are you following what I'm saying? And people who say that they are in the faith and their faith takes them out, then they become a witness against the cross. And my Bible tells me we should never be ashamed of standing in faith for the things that God has given us. Well, that's how people process things. I will never be found outside of my faith by allowing somebody else to dictate to me where my heart is. Don't allow anybody to do that to you. And don't become a victim of doing that to somebody. Now, we'll close because we'll get on this again. I want to show you some things out of Hebrews. It's fabulous and everything about this transfer of authority. We got to get into it. And we got to get this down. Kenneth Hagin said years ago, and I've told you this testimony, I want it to stick in your mind. He said he was talking with Jesus. Jesus was carrying on a conversation with him. And these demons came down in between them. Smoke was going everywhere. Couldn't even hardly see. And Jesus kept talking just like there was nothing going on. And he said, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. And they disappeared. And he said, not Lord. And the Lord just kept talking. And he said, wait a minute, Lord. Why didn't you get rid of them demons? And Jesus turned to him and said, I couldn't. He said, no, Lord, that defies everything I know about the Word of God. It does. First time I heard that testimony from him, I said, I don't know whether to keep following this guy or not. He putting Jesus down on man's level. Until one day I realized that Jesus came down on man's level and transferred all the authority to them. It's all in your hands. Well, wonder why so-and-so didn't get healed. Well, because it was in their court. Well, I'd hate to go to heaven and say, well, you let somebody else talk you out of it. They said you said the wrong thing. Don't you know when the wrong thing's said in your heart? And boy, that when I heard that testimony, it just stunned me. And that's when I got to digging in to the present day ministry of Jesus. That's what drove me into it. It was going to either drive me into God or drive me out of God. I could have picked up a religious spirit of the sovereignty of God. I would never listen to another thing that guy had to say. Do you know that a lot of people don't understand Deuteronomy 28 about the curse? You know, a lot of people don't know what that means about the curse. We're not under the law. Why do we incur a curse? Hello? Well, it says over in Deuteronomy chapter 30 that there's blessings. Why don't we have the blessings? Why do we end up with the curses? There's this key to that. Did you guys know that? Did you know that when you got born again, that you guys were removed from the curse of the law? Well, what's the curse of the law? You listen to your natural brain and you listen to your body. You are listening to the curse. But when you develop spiritually, now you're ready for the blessing. We're going to talk about authority transfer. We're going to look at the operation of our faith and where our faith really lies. Our faith doesn't lie in the Old Testament, people. Our faith lies in the substitutionary work of Jesus Christ. Period, over and out. Stand up, everybody. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you, Father, that you caused me to rightly divide it. I thank you, Father, that many of us are going to quit becoming victims of our own behavior, and we're going to start walking in righteousness so that our faith will have final results of victory and not be ashamed when we exercise our faith. Father, we want to know how we can quit loving ourselves in the wrong way and love ourselves in the right way, so we can bless our neighbor. Father, train us, teach us, help us, Lord, so that we can enter into the blessings and remove ourselves from the curse. Hallelujah. Father, this morning as we close, if there's anybody here that has never given their heart to Jesus, Father, we want to open that door for them right now. They can come forward and just enter into the kingdom of heaven and become a new citizen in Him. And Father, if somebody needs to restore their fellowship with you, that we're willing to pray for them, Father. Haven't come back into that perfect will where they belong. Father, if they've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, Father, we would love to lay hands on them, let them receive the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, if they're tired of not partaking of divine healing, Father, then may they just reach out to you and be determined to receive it this morning. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that fits you, you could step out and come forward. Anybody? Feel free to do that. Anyone? If you've been prayed for before for even physical healing, it's all right to come again. Hallelujah. 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 I think
the Spirit of God's going to open up a lot on the Word where we're at. Amen. Thank you, ushers. You're doing great. The ushers are doing great. Okay, you guys want to get out of here? Father, in the name of Jesus, may your people be blessed today. We look forward to being with them again in Jesus' name. Amen. Go and be blessed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.